few weeks ago, I was really excited about this service. I wrote a reflection all about my work at a local nonprofit organization and how we help people who come to us without judgment because we acknowledge the inherent worth of all of those that we serve. But I couldn't bring that to you today because it just didn't feel genuine. When I thought more about it, I realized the truth is that we at my organization, but also probably all of us, sometimes fall short of our goal of treating everyone in a way that acknowledges their inherent worth. Sometimes we fail to treat people with dignity. Dignity is a quality or state of being that reflects a person's inherent worth. While we can't deny a person's worth, we can decide with what level of dignity we will treat them. And while our goal is, of course, to treat everyone with dignity and respect, I must acknowledge that there are times when we really just mess up. It's interesting how judgment can often show up as wanting good things for someone. A volunteer who would consider themselves totally non-judgmental might begin to assert that things would be so much better for a client if only they dot, dot, dot. If only they got a job, got a different job, got married, left their spouse, went back to school, sold some stuff, you name it. And in those moments, even though the volunteer's intention is good, all the client hears is, I'll be worthy when, dot, dot, dot. And I'll be worthy when implies that I must not be worthy now. My organization helps people secure basic needs. We all, no matter what, deserve food, clothing, shelter, warmth, but also love, community, and a sense of our own worthiness. But it's interesting how judgment can often show up and even with the best of intentions, keep us from knowing the truth of people's inherent worth, robbing them of their dignity. And so I challenge myself and the people I work with to be more mindful of the times when judgment is creeping up on us. It's not always easy to identify, especially when we think our intention is good. But I encourage them, and I try to remember myself, to be curious about those thoughts. Wonder where they're coming from. Identify the ways in which your thoughts could rob people of their dignity, or the ways in which those thoughts could rob you of your own. I'm an introvert, so this isn't always easy for me, but I challenge myself to see the depths of people's worth. I pray that I could be like a mirror so that people might see their worth reflecting from me. In that effort, I am reminded of our shared humanity. And when I can see another's inherent worth, somehow I am reminded of my own. I really appreciate Leah's reflection and her willingness to acknowledge the ways that we all fall short of our ideals and through even innocuous judgments can deny others or ourselves our inherent worth and dignity. It's true. We forget that all of us, no matter what we have done, deserve to have our basic human needs met for food, for shelter, for peace, for community, for love. Our worthiness is not tied to anything we earn or do. And this is really hard to wrap our minds around. We live in a capitalist, market-driven society that constantly bombards us with the message that our worth is linked to our productivity, or our output, or our consumption. If we buy this thing, or wear that thing, or work in this particular kind of way, then we will have true worth. I get it. I'm guilty of feeling this way sometimes, especially with our curated online world and with my own particular type A work style. If I can just get all the things on the to-do list done, then I'll be worthy. Our UU tradition teaches us something different. It teaches us another truth. The particular Christian tradition from which our universalist ancestors emerged was a tradition that believed that salvation was limited, like a commodity on the market. But those early universalists, our ancestors, rejected that. And they said that salvation, or God's love, was universal. It was available to everyone, and that there was nothing that anyone could do to earn it, or to lose it, or to reject it, or to hide from it. They said that God's love was part of who we are from birth. They rejected the notion of original sin and instead called it original blessing. Today, some of us might call it God's love. We might call it original blessing. We might just call it universal love or inherent worth and dignity. I don't really care what you call it, but that thing, that treasure, is inside each and every one of us. And we don't talk a lot about faith as Unitarian Universalists. Instead, we talk about wondering or doubt or reason. Faith can feel a little too squishy for us sometimes. Having faith simply means believing something that you can't see or touch. And our first principle is a matter of faith. You can't see someone's inherent worth. You just have to trust that it's true. We can't observe it empirically. We just have to have faith that it's there. Now, we cite our first principle easily. It's the one that most of us, even if we've only been around this place for a little while, can name. If we talk about our seven principles, usually people can pretty easily name that first one, the inherent worth and dignity of all people. I would say it is the easiest to say and to remember, and the hardest of the seven to believe. So in this season of darkness and light, this season of gifts, both tangible and spiritual, I am asking you to have faith that the first principle is true. And if you can't do that, if you can't believe it, just to live like it were true. You are worthy. No matter what you've done, no matter what anyone else has done to you, you are worthy. No one in our world is disposable. Now, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This first principle does not excuse hateful or hurtful behavior. Behavior does have limits. You do not have to accept behavior that harms you just because someone has inherent worth and dignity. But we don't throw people away because of their actions. You have a treasure inside of you, and so do they, even if they're not acting like it. That doesn't mean you have to include them in your life, but it means that they still have worth as part of who they are. Now, the other side of the coin of our inherent worth and dignity is in our actions. So I just said that we are not worthy because of our actions. We instead act the way we do because we have the gift of our inherent worth and dignity. It's reverse. We don't earn our inherent worth and dignity through our actions. Instead, we act in a certain way in the world because of our inherent worth and dignity. When one of my favorite stories from the Universalist history books. It's one I've told you before, and I will tell it again, don't worry, it's my favorite, is about an early 19th century Universalist preacher. His name is Hosea Ballou, and he's riding on his horse alongside a Baptist preacher who's trying to understand how Universalism works. And this Baptist preacher says, "Brother Ballou, you're telling me that if I were a Universalist, I could hit you over the head, steal your horse, leave you for dead, and I would still go to heaven?" Hosea Ballou responds to his colleague, "Friend, if you were a Universalist, that thought wouldn't even have occurred to you." His point and my point this morning is that we are called to act with love, justice, and mercy in the world, not because we are afraid of damnation, but because we believe that we've been given a powerful gift ourselves, one that we didn't earn, and we want to extend that gift of worthiness and love and mercy to everyone else. We live our lives not out of fear, but as an extension of that love. May it be so. Amen.